The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gif. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, I'm Huey, the comic half squatch and high commander of the Blast Interstatic Comic Book Review Show on YouTube, and I support Gen X Grown Up through Patreon. You can too by going to patreon.com/GenXGrownUp.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown up?
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown Up podcast listeners, to this backtrack edition of the Gen X Grown Up podcast. I am John. Joining me, as always, is George.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And you know Mo is here.
Hey, everybody.
The backtrack is, as you know, we pick a single nostalgic topic and dig in deep. You know, playing games together across the internet is more popular than ever these days. But we're going to look back on online multiplayer gaming before the internet even existed.
Ooh, there was such a thing?
Believe it or not, there was.
Not back according to my kid, but...
Right, no. Without the internet, you can't do anything. That is not true. We did it for a long time. Before we get into that, though, we have some fourth listener email, one of my favorite parts of the show. The first one is from Stu Monkey. Stu Monkey writes in with a subject line, Siri on Gen X Grown Up.
What? Yeah. What? Are we on iOS now? What the hell happened?
Well, we are on iTunes. I don't know if that counts, but yeah. Okay. So here's what Stu Monkey had to say. Hey, fellas, congrats on finding someone who has the voice of Siri, Moxie, to come on the podcast and share facts. Our 70s one hit wonders we had a guest on. So he says that she sounded just like the voice of Siri.
Funny.
When she first started talking, I could swear it was the voice of Siri, even more so because she was talking facts behind the music. This made for a great laugh and had to share. Yeah, she has a very professional voice. We're very happy to have Moxie on the show.
And she's better than I was.
She's better than all of us, I think.
Yeah, really.
And in fact, Gen X Grown Up is going to have a guest spot on her show, Your Brain on Facts, before too long. So if you have not yet checked out her show, Mo, maybe you could throw a link down in the show notes there to Moxie's show where someone could subscribe. Yeah, Your Brain on Facts. Just search for it anywhere. Moxie has a great show and a great presentation. Anyway, Stu Monkey goes on to say, keep up the rad work. By the way, I'm with George. I'm 75 and I don't remember any of this shit except when they popped up in movies and later, referring to those 70s one-hit wonders.
Oh, okay. He means he's not 75 years old. He was born in 75.
Yes, right.
Okay. That threw me off for a second. I was like, damn, we got some old listeners. I knew Mo was old, but holy hell.
I'm from 75, I should say. Yes, right. It's nice that you're still getting around, Stu Monkey, at 75. We're so happy for you. He wraps it up by saying, may the fourth be with you, Stu Monkey.
Nice.
Awesome. Thank you, Stu. And we have one more fourth listener email. This is from, I think, a first-time writer.
Oh.
This is an email from RZ Ted. And his subject line is one-hit wonders as
well.
Hey,
RZ Ted.
And Ted says, love the episode, brought back memories of my first introduction to pop music circa 1977. Honorable mentions to Black Betty by Ram Jam and Ballroom Blitz by Sweet, which led inevitably to Motorhead, as you would expect. Yep. Just keep up the good work. I enjoy every episode. RZ Ted. Awesome.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hey, if you would like your email read here on the show, it's easy. Just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. You know, we read every single one and most make the show. All right. Are you guys ready to talk about some pre-internet multiplayer gaming?
Absolutely.
Yeah, let me get my modem going. Okay.
All right. Let's hit it.
Thank you.
Over the past few weeks, we've been trying out Factor Meals, and they're meals that come straight to your door. They deliver them to you in the mail. They drop on the front door in this freezer pack. And it's a great way to eat stress-free. And this spring, you can get delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved. And here's the cool thing, as we've all found out. You throw them in the microwave for 2 minutes, and they're ready to eat and not even requiring cleanup.
And if you can't find something on their menu that you like, then you're just way too picky.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have over 35 options. Mm. You know, they have things like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, and we even tried the vegetarian one, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just the regular meals, but they've also got all these add-on packs, which I really love. These are right. things like, you know, breakfast or on-the-go lunches or little snacks, even like beverages that want to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So really, I mean, like they say on their site, what are you waiting for? And they're not kidding. You can get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals by heading over to Factor.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Are you looking for good gourmet meals? Try the meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for lowest carbon footprint meals.
So head to factormeals.com/GenX50 and use code GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code GenX50 at factormeals.com/GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Let's get going then talking about online multiplayer gaming pre-internet. Now, if you're not one of our Gen X brethren, that might sound like an oxymoron. Like, how right. can you do those two things at the same time? But believe it or not, there was a time before the internet, and there was a time pre-internet but post-computers where we all were trying to do something to connect to computers, and naturally, games were one of those. And George, you were saying that, you know, in this current kind of environment with the pandemic apocalypse going on, more than ever, we're staying connected through the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. And specifically through games, I've noticed a lot because, you know, other services are trying to do these things like watch together and stuff. We've even done that on our Discord channel recently where we watched a film together.
Yeah.
And that's all fun and that's neat and cool, but I don't think it shines any better than when it comes to video games. That was a thing that when we first grew up, it was all in the arcade, right? And then later sure. on,
yeah.
we got some little home console devices like your ColecoVisions, your Atari 2600s, your Intellivisions, those things. But they didn't really, I mean, unless you're talking about through some obsequious piece of cartridge weirdness that very few people had.
Yeah, there were very few
out
things.
Of your house, yeah. right?
The only multiplayer was couch multiplayer. You were
exactly.
both sitting together
right, right.
at first.
How many controllers
right.
yeah, can yeah. plug into this thing? And that's how many people can play. And if you have more, well, you're out of luck. That's it.
Yeah.
But round about the mid 80s, like when I was in high school, we started these things called BBSs, bulletin board systems. And it's not what you think of. It's not a system for putting your pictures up with thumbtacks on a corkboard or anything like that. These were actual electronic, I'm going to call them servers because that's essentially what they were. They served up content. You would find out about one of these things. You would get its phone number because you had to dial it through your telephone line, not
right.
any kind of an automatic always on connection. You would dial into it, and once you created or were granted a user login account, you could then use the services that were served up on this BBS. Most of them started out as simple messaging systems, ways
yeah.
to transmit messages before email, before texting, yeah. any of that stuff.
It was like kind of like early texting, really, right? Except you had to be
right,
a computer
yeah, exactly.
to do it.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. It definitely started out as messaging for sure, and then a little bit of file sharing, a little bit of that mm-hmm. would happen.
A little
you know?
Bit, yeah.
Well, actually, then, a lot of it,
the
actually.
Images that would come across your screen one line at a time as you downloaded it.
Yeah. But as is the universal truth with all new technologies, eventually porn and gaming is going to find its way onto that platform.
So both sad, were well true. Represented both on most BBS. Both were well BBS. Represented,
absolutely. Yes. We're talking about the gaming part, though.
Yeah, and I think some of the first games that popped up on BBSs were the turn-taking games, because that was the most logical progression. One person log in, they make their turn, then they log out, then the next person logs in and makes their turn in whatever that game is that they're playing against
each other. It started just like checkers, reversey, chess, like obvious games at first. They weren't really, they hadn't figured out how to take advantage of the computer to play different kind of games at first. But yeah, I would remember I would dial up and go, oh, he hasn't taken his turn yet. I'll log out. Maybe he'll log in later. Yeah, you just say, who would dial in next to take their turn?
It was all ASCII based at the start of it. It wasn't graphical. It was just, you know, like, how do I make these combinations of keyboard characters look like this shape?
Vaguely look.
That's what ASCII is. Yep. Yeah. And so I played chess. That was the big one for most of the bulletin boards that I logged into. Chess was always there. Just like war games, would you like to play a game of chess? No, it was that's why that's in that movie, because it was on all these bulletin board systems and it was a lot of fun. They did have some multi-line, somewhat real-time games that were out there.
Sort of, kind of.
You're right. Some of the bigger BBSs would eventually have multiple dialing lines. So rather than just one phone line coming in. And literally, it was, they called the phone company and said, come install another line or a third line at my house.
Yep.
And so they had multiple modems on different lines, and that opened the door. I remember a few of them that you could literally play at the same time, that they weren't action games or, you know, kind of playing Doom or anything that we'll talk about later. We had some that were kind of adventure games, you know, kind of trivia things. You had to answer questions and get the energy, and you might run into another person who was also playing the game. It was rare, but when you did, for me it was like magic. I'm like, whoa, is this another human being in the game with me? Right. That was so strange, but awesome.
I just wonder, too, I wanted to ask this question before we got out of this segment, and we've still got a lot of stuff we can talk about, but did either of you also run a bulletin board like I did back then?
No, I never
or
did.
You didn't, Mo? What about you, John?
I did. I sure did. Yeah.
So what did you run your bulletin board on, and what was it geared toward?
Yeah. So I ran two bulletin boards really throughout time. My first one, I ran on my Atari computer, my Atari 8-bit.
Okay.
And of course, those had no hard drive. So what I had a stack of like five floppy drives, and just all the files and games lived on a whole bunch of floppies that were all online at the same time. And that was called That Dern BBS. That was the name of it. It was a joke between me and one other guy. And so we nicknamed, I think he had a neighbor that said Dern because he didn't want to say damn. He was so pious that he didn't want to say even damn. So we called it That Dern BBS. And then later, George, when you and I were in college in the Star Trek Club, I ran the BBS for the Star Trek Club, in fact. And I ran that on my Amiga.
Did we have a BBS?
We sure did.
I didn't remember that we had a BBS. Wow.
Yeah, we did. We sure did. And it had all the things you talked about. It had games. It had chat boards. And for us, it was focused around science fiction. There was a section for Sliders and Babylon 5 and DS9.
Right.
There were different areas to talk about that. Yeah.
Man, yeah, that was the one thing that I loved about my bulletin board. I ran one on the Commodore 64 back when I was in middle school.
Jeez.
And just like you, John, didn't have a hard drive. So I had two 1541 floppy drives. And it was called Games That People Play, because I was trying to come up with SEO marketing stuff even back then.
Yeah.
I was in middle school.
I think we touched on some of these topics. We did a backtrack years ago about BBSs in particular. I think I remember you saying it was called Games People Play, and I remember that because that's a hit song by the Alan Parsons Project. That's
absolutely
how I remember.
But the one thing that was true, you talked about those people that ran those multi-line BBSs. For us, we just had that one phone line, and I don't know
that's
about you, John, but my parents didn't want to pay for a second phone line, so it was the phone line that we used in the house, and it was only in operation when my parents would allow me to
use
the
phone.
You
turned it on at night, you said, right? You flipped it on in the evening. Yeah.
So does anyone try to dial your parents, pick it up, and they get the tones?
Oh, yeah.
What the hell is this?
All the time. Yes. And then, George! I'm sure they're pissed at you, right?
Oh, yeah. And that very quickly moved into a second phone line after that.
Yeah.
Because they were like, this is ridiculous. We can't get calls at night. What if something happens? I'm like, tell them to dial the BBS. I don't know.
I had a dedicated phone line, but basically the BBS was on when I wasn't busy using the phone line, right? So it was my dial-out number, and when I was bored and watching TV, I flipped it to a dial-in number. But yeah, it had a dedicated line.
Man, those were so much fun. But there were also like some big corporations that did these kind of things, right, John?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, you talk about BBS is what you dial into, which is fine. But there were services that you probably heard of, like CompuServe, and in the later, like Genie that you may or may not have heard of. I had that one. But they started to release games that were, they fall in that multiplayer, kind of multi people at the same time kind of thing. In 84, CompuServe came out with a very popular game called Islands of Kesmai. And it used, like you said, scrolling text and ASCII graphics to draw maps of your location. So it was like an overworld, like a kind of like a Ultima or something, right? So you saw a map and it was a roguelike. It was dynamically generated. And every time you went in, it was a little bit different, but it persisted for players. You gained experience and stuff. And people were straight up addicted to that. CompuServe made tons of money because people were logging in. Remember, that's back when you had to pay per hour,
right.
Or whatever. Yeah. And they're like, I got to log in to play Islands of Kesmai, or they just call it Kesmai back then. Yeah. And then later, I mentioned in 87, a few years later, Genie, which do you remember Genie, this General Electric thing?
Yeah. I do remember that.
I never got on CompuServe, but I was on Genie because they had the best Atari section of all of the online services. So I knew it well. And Genie stands for, I still remember to this day, General Electric Network for Information Exchange, GENIE. That's the name for it.
That's what it stands for?
It is? Yeah. Did you not know that?
I did not know that.
It's a great acronym.
I am a fountain of useless trivia from the 80s, guaranteed. But they rolled out in 87 with a game called Air Warrior, put out by Kesmai, the company that did the one for CompuServe. But it was a graphical flight simulator.
Wow. On a BBS?
Yeah. Believe it or not. It used wireframe. And it actually, I can only imagine it was like super rudimentary. I've never seen it or played it. But it could run. It had like a back-end software you ran, and you could run it on your Macintosh, on your Atari ST, or your Amiga. So it was effectively an online game that you connected to BBS to play, but it was running graphics on your computer's horsepower, not ASCII.
You know, it's funny. I looked, because I hadn't heard of Island of Kesmai, so I was looking it up. Do you know how much it costs to play that game on CompuServe? No. CompuServe itself, like the game was free on CompuServe.
Okay. But all right.
CompuServe costs $4 an hour at 300 baud. Or $12 an hour if you had a 1200 baud.
It was tiered. That's right. Yeah. If you're logging in, that cost them nothing extra to log in faster.
But it cost you more if you had a faster modem.
That's stupid.
So, and they process one command every 10 seconds. So they said that's about basically 1 2/3 cents per command when you played the game.
1 2/3 cents. George is making a spreadsheet right now.
Yep.
How can I get in on this?
I mean, think how much people, I can just imagine how much stupid money people dropped on that game.
You kind of wonder how some of these companies went bankrupt. I mean, as much money as they were creating hand over fist for virtually no infrastructure whatsoever other than a computer and a modem. I mean, how are they not like all mega billionaire? Maybe they were and they just went on to do other things after they closed the companies. But
yeah, probably. But still, yeah, it's crazy.
I think the internet just killed them. I mean, you know, how long are you going to dial in? I mean, a lot of people are still stalwart holdouts with their AOL address, but I think most people have moved on to those online services.
Yeah.
CompuServe combines the power of your computer with the convenience of your telephone to bring you hundreds of online services, like a complete set of encyclopedia and national news wires. It helps you decide on investments, bank, and make airline reservations, get free software, and shop in the electronic mall. CompuServe connects you with other computer owners and offers games that pit you against opponents around the country.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
A lot of things we're talking about in the BBS era, that was definitely in the very much early 80s, mid 80s, early 90s, like you were saying, sure. But it didn't start there. I mean, all the way back with like the pre like home computer days, I'm sure you've probably heard of MUDs, multi-user dungeons. Based on a game called MUD. Like that was the name of the first game, what the genre is named after. And it started in 1978.
Wow.
And it's on these mainframes. Like you would go to colleges, they paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to have these giant mainframes. And it was all the nerds with tape on their glasses coming in to play these MUDs.
I think I kind of remember seeing that kind of a thing in a documentary or something.
Yeah, it was like an online Dungeons and Dragons, but the fact the computer was doing it and there wasn't a person you were dealing with, I think made it's just captivating. It was new technology, and that was awesome. And even before that, there was a version called Cave, very much like it, in 75.
Wow. Yeah.
That was on these mainframes at colleges.
It was funny how quickly the colleges actually had to ban people from playing it because it was using
They were taking up time because you had to, basically it was like a library. Like you couldn't check out the computer, but you could check out time on it. You had to book time, and they were just flooding the registration forms to come in and play games. They're like, cut it out, guys. Yeah. So,
this computers are only for serious stuff.
So yeah, we've learned that. That goes all the way back in the 70s up through the BBS days, but man, so much progressed so quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talked about the BBS stuff and that was all very cool, but the next wave, the next mode, so to speak, of this interconnected gaming was really the multiplayer null modem games or the direct dial modem games.
Mm-hmm.
Those are precursors to LAN parties for sure. But essentially what you would do, let's talk about null modem cables first. So null modem cables, you could take your modem and instead of connecting it to a phone line or whatever, they had, you know, a different port on the back of them and you could get a specific cable that crossed the wires.
Yep.
Then you would connect it to the other modem and then they could talk to each other in sync and those two modems could then be connected to two different PCs and you could play each other within the confines of how long that cable was, right? So
right.
The cable would stretch across the room, you could be across the room, but most of the time you were probably on a big long buffet table next to each other playing these games. But then right around that same time, John, this is where you and I came in.
Yep.
Direct dial modem gaming, where you could dial a friend's phone number and his modem would answer just like the BBS days, but it wasn't you connecting to a BBS that then you would log into a game. It was the game dialing the other game.
That's right.
And one person would be a host and the other person would be a guest. Oh my God, did we spend hours in the same apartment complex, mind you, playing direct dial modem games. One of my favorites of all time, John, Space War.
I know. Yeah, for sure. So we were both Amiga users. Well, Space War actually was developed in 1962, designed for two players on the same computer. But you're right. In the early 90s, there was a shareware version that we found. And we found it, frankly, because it was themed after Star Trek. Yeah. There the ships, one of them was the Enterprise and one was like a Klingon ship, as I recall, right?
Yep.
And it's asteroids, basically. Take asteroids, so you have that wireframe look, but they added a sun in the middle, so you have gravity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just two little ships flying around each other, pew, pew, shooting single pixel bullets at each other.
And let me tell you how good John was at this goddamn game. If you hadn't already figured it out, he had developed this strategy that because of where you spawned, you always spawned in the same place after you died, right? So, and it was left and right of the screen depending upon which character you're playing.
He would zoom
across the screen. He used the sun's gravity to make his speed go faster and he had his angles down and everything. So as soon as he killed me one time, the game was over because he would just keep zooming across the screen as I spawned. Bam, bam, bam. I never got a chance to move. It was
you
over.
You ought to spawn faster. It's your own damn fault. But it was like magic. I mean, the fact that now it was cool. Not that I was kicking your ass was magic. That was obvious. What was magic about it was we had played games together in the same room before, standing in an arcade machine or sitting in front of a console or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that, like, okay, your magic technology box is plugged into my magic technology box and there's a wire running through the telephone lines and somehow we're playing the same game on different screens with the same coordination of stuff, that was unheard of to me at the time. It just in real time. It was fantastic.
And it was, we knew that it was all based in sound because you could hear the modems connect to each other. You know, they did at the beginning. All that crap, right? So you knew it was auditory that these things were, and that would just blow my mind how one modem could read another modem's audio sounds.
Another language,
and of course, it didn't always work perfectly. If you had static in your phone line, guess what? You had static in your game if your game connected at all.
And that's when George had a chance at winning if there was static on the phone line.
Right, right. Well, and I was going to say, that was my one point of satisfaction in that game is every now and then I would just turn the modem off and John would say, hey, what happened? He would call me later on and say, oh, I don't know. I think we lost signal. Must have static in the line.
Well, they also, I remember the bane of that was call waiting when that first came around.
Oh,
my God. Turn that crap off.
Yes. Disable call waiting.
Because it would make like a tone. It would like do a beep. Which normally would tell you that somebody else is calling you, but that way it totally screwed up the modem. Like it didn't know what to do with that sound.
You would see on the screen some gibberish characters like, oh crap, somebody's dialing in. You knew it. Yep.
And there were plenty of other examples of this game. One called Falcon that I found on the internet from 1987. It was another flight simulator. So apparently people were just jonesing to play flight simulators all the time. I never got into them.
Oh, dogfighting. Of course.
It was. Yeah. It was a head-to-head dogfighting simulation between two machines over a modem connection.
And that's 87. That predates what we found in the 90s. So that's amazing. Yeah. It's even before that, just slightly, a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just a couple of years. But I think one of my other favorites that I found in the list, John, was Battle Chess. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Remember Battle Chess?
I remember Battle Chess. Isn't that the one where when you take another piece, they have an actual fight?
They do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you pick up the pawn and kick him or something. Yeah. Like they turn into characters. Right. Yeah.
Now, all those animations are pre-done. So it's not, they still follow the rules of chess, you know.
Right. Right. Right.
You don't get to determine the outcome in the fight.
The attacker always wins, right?
Which you did. Uh-huh. Archon was one of those games where you got to determine the outcome based on the fight between the two characters, and that was a chess game as well. And there even was, we'll talk about it a little bit later on, there was an Archon game that got brought into the LAN party and all the MMO stuff later on. But man, Battle Chess, Space War, I don't know if I've ever had a more fun time in my life playing games against somebody else not in the same room with me.
Well, it was because it was new and novel, and we were playing with that technology that we were loving, right? And it almost didn't cost you anything more. You already had the computer, you already had the modem, you're always doing crap with it. And the fact that it opens up a whole new avenue of something we could do back then with literally spending no more money, just like, hey, we figured out a way to do this. Wow, that was amazing.
You know, that's a good point, though. We actually had to sit down and figure out how to do it through a multiple amount of different resources.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like now where it's literally you just turn the thing on and it does it all for you.
No.
I think that's important to understand the appreciation that we have for what these things can do.
It wasn't a given and we had to work at it.
Yeah. Good
point. Yeah.
Genie is everything you're looking for, like computing support, databases, and live chat lines, plus award-winning games, over 200,000 downloadable files, and the coolest special interest areas around. But the best part is, you can actually get on Genie. Just call 1-800-638-9636. They'll even start you off with almost $40 worth of free services.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Gentlemen, I think it's time that we just go ahead and pull the gloves off and jump into LAN party gaming.
No,
because
my God,
that's really what I think a lot of our listeners dove deep in on when it comes to multiplayer gaming across different devices.
If they didn't know about the stuff we've talked about so far, they're going to relate to this, right?
Yeah.
Again, multiplayer gaming was not new. I mean, you played on your Atari, which pretty much all of the multiplayer on Atari had to be person to person because there was no AI. We've talked about that before.
Right.
And we had great arcade games that were literally designed to be more fun. We had more people. I mean, one of our all-time favorites, Gauntlet.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You have four people crowded around a console and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, Gauntlet was the one with, you know, wizard needs food badly. It's the one you had to keep putting right. quarters into it because it was just, oh, yeah, the laugh, of course.
Right.
But it had four stations you could stand around.
It was the first game with four stations, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I mean, there were games that had two people playing at the same time.
Yep.
But not four.
And it was cooperative.
Yeah, it was really cool. And talking about multiple people playing games with LAN parties, I think one of the most important things, just like that Gauntlet game was the first cabinet to have four players playing it at one time, the equipment that you had to scrounge up to get a LAN party going, because that's really what it was back then, right? We weren't rich. It's not like we went down to CompUSA or whatever store and just bought, here's 20 new PCs and here's 20 new monitors and here's whatever leftover crap somebody
had. You had to haul all this crap too.
Yes.
You had to carry it.
Right.
Yeah.
And there was no flat screen monitors. You had to haul this big tube monitor
uphill both ways in the snow.
Yeah, in the snow.
Shoes.
That's right.
We were chasing that Gauntlet experience. We're like, well, damn, if you go to the arcade and play multiplayer in the same room, can I do something with this online kind of connected thing that we could do? And so LAN parties came out of that, which is literally LAN, local area network, meaning you're in the same area. Well, back then, a LAN, you literally had to be in the same local area.
Yeah.
And network, you came together. You had all that gear that you brought in, milk crates and backpacks and satchels and bungee cords.
Yep.
You set it up in a big room in the basement or in the back room, and it was 400 degrees in there because all these computers were venting in that room.
Oh, it's definitely a fire hazard because you had all these outlets and extension cords all over the place.
Well, not to mention all the Cheetos and Mountain Dew everywhere.
Mountain Dew, Dorito fingers on my monitor, and it was horrible and it was magnificent.
You know, the two pieces of equipment, though, that in my mind were what made LAN party gaming really possible and doable we went away from modems and we went to network interface cards, NIC cards, right?
Yes, oh, right.
Token ring and all that stuff. Token ring,
right? And then the routers between them. If we didn't have those two inventions, I don't think, you know, obviously we can't do LAN party gaming. I don't know if any of the rest of what we know now as the internet would have developed as quickly as it did, because those two inventions are really what the internet is still about today, 20, 30 years later.
Once
it's
again,
all about NIC
gaming
cards
and porn pushing technology. Yes.
But I want to talk about the culture, John. You know, you talked about the Doritos fingers and the Mountain Dew and everything.
Yeah.
The culture of people who played LAN party. It was almost cultish in a sense.
Yeah.
Every Friday night or every Sunday afternoon or whatever it was. And people would play for hours and hours, and God help, I know people who quit jobs because their schedule interfered with their LAN party game schedule.
Well, you're not going to haul all that crap to somebody else's house for a 10-minute gaming session. Once you're there and it's all set up and finally working, like that wasn't a given either.
To get working,
is it all working? Did it survive the trip in my trunk first?
Yeah. And there were so many wonderful examples of the different games that you could play in that. I know one of my wife's favorite games, not for LAN party gaming, but just later on, was Age of Empires. That was huge in the LAN party games.
Yep.
Empire Star Wars building, Jedi Knight. That was a big one. Worms. John, you got to remember Worms.
Yeah. Yeah. The pillbox game where you get trajectory and velocity and all the weapons that you have. Yep.
Yeah. And then, of course, Mo, I know you probably know a little game called Doom. I think you've heard of that.
So, yeah, the funny thing was that my first experience with Doom was at my work.
At your work? Of course. Why not?
Of course. Because we had
the best computers are.
No, we had a setup. And, of course, we had like one of the early token ring network things set up. Mm. And first it was, oh, we could share files and get all this stuff. Let me tell you, we were there to all hours of the night because somebody got Doom, stuck it on there. And I'm like, oh. And then it was like during work, he said, oh, watch this. And then I'm like, oh, cool. Because it was early 3D graphics kind of, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so then he was like, oh, you want to play? I'm like, sure. He's like, no, you can play at your desk. I'm like, what? What was this?
I can what now?
I could do what? What was this? And I was and then I saw him on the screen and we were shooting each other. And it was, let me tell you, I can't tell you how many hours.
Was that like an epiphany moment when you finally realized that is another person in this game, this dungeon?
It was surreal. It took me a while to figure out that because the thing was not behaving like a computer, like the other person you were shooting at. It was doing things.
What's it doing?
Yeah. Like, what the hell? You know,
it's not following a pattern. It's doing whatever the hell it wants.
Yeah.
This thing is insane.
It was crazy.
It's a person. Yeah.
It was almost surreal. Like you said, it was just, you couldn't believe that. It's like, oh my God, like I'm actually on a computer game with another person in real time. And we're both interacting with each other.
You know, that reminds me so much of an Office episode. I don't know if you guys remember it, but Jim moves to another office where they're selling paper. It's
they're all playing games. And he's not good.
Playing like Call of Duty and he's terrible at it.
He's awful.
But I can see Mo in that setting that he's describing, because I didn't have an office where we did that kind of a thing, but God, I wished I had. That sounds like it would have been so much fun.
Oh, it was.
But which one was Mo? Like, were you the one crushing everyone, or are you the one like walking in the walls?
I was pretty damn good at that game.
Were you? He was poning noobs left and right circa 1992.
Because the guy who showed it to me, he was the first person ever to play. I was the second person. Yeah, because we were like worried that we're going to get in trouble, which we eventually did, but not big trouble, because the people who got us in trouble had no idea what we were doing. They just knew we were doing something we probably shouldn't be. That was about it.
Right.
Don't do that. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, all right. You know, if you know. But yeah, it was awesome. And we played a lot by ourselves before we clued everybody else in.
You're one of those damn early adopter beta tester people that just waits for people at the spawn point.
Yeah.
You jerk. Yeah,
here's the tip. You just whiplash around the sun, just shoot where George is going to be. It's perfect. It works every time.
Thanks to my Atari telephone modem, my computer can call other computers, and I can get information on practically anything. Look at this list. Acupuncture, adolescence, adoption, advice to the lovelorn. Everything is computerized these days. Aircraft insurance, airport delays, airline guide. You can use your Atari computer to check airline schedules, make reservations, make sure you're getting the lowest fares, even pay for your tickets. I'm not even halfway through the A's yet. Alabama Sports and News, Alaska Sports and News, annual report.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know. Refill? Everyone flies their own way. Delta. Keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
I don't know if it's possible to totally encapsulate the experiences that we had growing up with some of these early examples of connected non-internet gameplay. But there's no doubt that without each one of those steps that we've talked about so far in the podcast, we would not have the modern incarnation of multiplayer online role-playing games, whatever the hell you, what is it?
Yeah.
Massive multi, I can't even say all the damn acronyms. That's how big it's all become
the,
now.
The Mamorpagas, the MMOs.
All the Twitters.
Or, well, all the Twitters, that's right. Yeah, and I think, so what, like, you have like the, what was the WoW, right? The World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
That's still going right on, but I think it really, really grabbed the world's attention probably like in the late 2000s.
Diablo,
it was huge.
I think, was another
one, Diablo,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's now the equivalent of gamers taking just for granted what Mo was amazed by when he first was playing Doom, that like everybody in the game is somebody and they have their own motivations and they're not just AI. Now there's AI in the game for you to fight against.
And sometimes the AI is so good, it's hard to tell that they're not a person.
These days, right. Right. Yeah. But I mean, that is basically the evolution of what we're talking about, because pre-internet, we tried to do this and we dreamed, or maybe didn't dare to dream, that we could do something as intricate as this. But yeah, these MMOs are Mo in his office sitting in his monochrome monitor, you know, shooting a guy on the other side of the office, but in a huge, huge way.
Yeah. Well, and I think of it too an awful lot like when you would dial into the BBSs and you get one of those ASCII dungeon crawlers like you're talking about.
Yeah.
In your imagination, you saw the landscape, you saw the castle, sure, or the dragon or whatever it was. Now, you don't have to imagine it. It's there in front of you. So part of me waxes nostalgic for that old way of doing it because I love the imagination that crept into it. And now you don't maybe have that as much. However, the one thing that I think is really great about these massive multiplayer online role-playing games, woohoo, I got it that time.
You got it. You got through it.
The fact that so many of them are free to play for the most part, or at least have been.
Well, to get going in for sure.
Guild Wars 2, World of Craft, Star Wars, The Old Republic. That harkens back as well to the old BBS days. When you first logged in, BBS is not the CompuServes or the Genies, but BBSs themselves.
Yep.
The guy who's got an Atari 8-bit and six different floppy drives, or the Commodore 64 and a whole bunch of 1541s, they didn't charge you for that stuff. It was just there to do and have fun and enjoy each other playing these games. And I like that aspect of this modern gaming systems that are out there now.
It was free for us because we were just tickled pink that anybody bothered to log into our computer. We thought that was awesome, right?
Yep.
Now, modern MMOs, they make their money out of, you know, loot crates, and they get you to to buy horse armor or whatever is the hot thing that's right.
The feathered hat that everyone wants.
That's right. Ooh, it's $45 real currency. Oh, you got to buy gold first. You only buy gold in increments of $100. Oh, crap. Right.
But yeah. And everything's 90.
They're going to monetize it. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, it's absolutely all those sorts of games that the imagination is less, but man, the visuals are so stunning now. But definitely at its core, the thread that runs through it is, look at this. We got this magic electronic box to talk to this magic electronic box and let two people in two different locations have a shared experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about thinking, you know, nostalgia on this. One thing that I think has changed, though, when we play these online games, I mean, it was competitive, but not really. That wasn't the important part.
It wasn't mean-spirited.
You kind of want the other guy to do well, just a little bit worse than you. Right.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Because you're all having fun, whereas today it's gotten so competitive. You know, these online, like,
There's leagues.
My kids play some of these games, and I tried to get on some of these massive online shooting games because, you know, I figured, oh, we could share experience. Mm-hmm. It was just too much.
Yeah.
And it's probably because I'm too old for that. But
well, it's part of it. Like, but also, you have other things that you have to do. You can't focus on learning those things.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that derogatorily.
No,
if that's what you love, let your geek flag fly. Spend 20 hours a day playing Halo. Great. And then you love it. It's just that I can't compete with that because I don't have the time to invest to learn all the skills that you do, right?
No, we used up all our time back then when we were figuring out what equipment shoot to it up put in the truck of our car.
That's right.
Drive to somebody's house.
When you want to play the hottest, fastest, most advanced fighting game ever, forget everything else and play Doom 2 on your PC. No other game gives you the incredible realism, the 360-degree smooth scrolling, and explosive action like Doom 2. It's easy to start playing, but it won't let you stop. Doom 2, it will consume you. Play solo against a computer, against a buddy by modem, or online in an awesome four-way deathmatch. Doom 2, playing in a PC software store near you.
If there was anything in this show you'd like to learn more about, the show notes which accompany each episode are full of links to click and explore. Catch up on past episodes and get pinged every time a new one's released by subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. And you know, iTunes reviews help more than you know, so if you haven't yet, please rate and review us in the iTunes app. And if you have a friend who isn't yet listening, why not? Tell them about us, they'll thank you later. You're our fourth listener, and we'd love to read your emails right here on the show, so hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. And finally, Gen X Grown Up is more than just this podcast. Our YouTube channel has hundreds of videos ready for you to enjoy, plus you can find our entire body of work on genxgrownup.com. You know, thinking back on this really makes me want to blast George out of the sky again by finding his spawn point, whipping around the sun, and I think you got it coming. It's been a while since I've shot it's down your little spaceship.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an emulator out there that
find
can...
a way to resurrect that. I think I would
love to watch that because it would crack me up.
If we get it cooking, man.
It might be a Discord gaming, right?
Ooh, a million views of George cussing. Yeah. That's all it is.
Oh, God. Lose my shit, would I not?
I literally would keep shooting him until he got so angry I had to stop so he wouldn't quit. That's pretty much what you had to do.
Like, oh, you got me, George. Good for you.
Oh, good times reminiscing. That's going to wrap up this backtrack looking back on these pre-internet multiplayer games. Before we leave, I absolutely want to take a moment here, an opportunity to give our express appreciation for all of the patrons who support us financially over on Patreon, literally taking a few bucks out of their pocket every single month to support what we do here on the podcast, over on YouTube, on the website. It really keeps gas in the tank. And I want to thank each and every one of you individually. Chad, Shelby, Levi, Sean, Chet, Thomas, Dan, David, Stian, Marcus, Mark, Stew Monkey, Mike C, Greg L, Lee, Ben, Tony, Greg Z, Adam, Davis, Matt, Agile, Slowmo, Dana, Jason, Blasted or Stash It, T2, Stubaka, Travis, Jonathan H, and Arlem. Thank you so much. Every single one of you. We love what you do for us. If you have not yet joined Patreon and you're interested in supporting what we do, George, tell them how they can get that done.
I will be happy to. As always, all you have to do is go to genxgrownup.com/Patreon. That is not slash like you would put in a multiplayer game. That is just the little slash that's on the keyboard. That's a hack and slash. That's a different one. You go to genxgrownup.com/Patreon. You sign up, you click a couple of buttons, you create an account, you pledge $1, we love you, you love us. You pledge $2, we love each other doubly as much. $3 gets you into that background content where you get to see my mullet. $5,
which you have to see,
jumps
that.
You into the swag levels. And if you're not satisfied with the $5 level, we even now have some exclusive Patreon influencer levels that are available out there. They are select. We don't allow a whole bunch of people into those levels right now because we want the people who subscribe to those
super
to
fans.
Have the influence
super
that they
fans.
Deserve.
Yep, yep.
But yes, please sign up. Anything you can donate to us is a huge help and makes us feel very special and good every single time you do it.
Well said, George. Man, I have had an awesome time reminiscing on these with you. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another backtrack, but next week with a regular edition of our show. And until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know I appreciate you, man.
Oh, man, always fun.
But fourth listeners, it's you that we appreciate most of all, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No more washing shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. What's up? KFC just
what
got
happened?
Here. I just saw the door open.
Jesus,
I'm sorry.
Christ. I thought like you dropped off or something.
No. Sorry, I got distracted.
You smell KFC.
Hello. And welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.